I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
I like when people trash talk to me. Gets me going. It's fun, man. It's basketball. There's going to be a lot of trash talking, and I like it. It's fun for me. It's competitive basketball, and I like it. So it's fun for me.
It's You Better You Bet on the BetQL Audio Network.
Nick Ashew, Chris Mack. And for the guys today, that was Luka Doncic there after the win for the Sun or over the Suns for the Mavs. And I don't know if I've established this with you, Chris. I am a huge Luka fan. He's going to win 7 MVPs, 10 titles. I love him like a son. Greatest player in the history of mankind. And I love the back and forth with Devin Booker. The one good thing, the NBA is starting to develop some new rivalries. They've lacked rivalries over the years. You're also getting player rivalries with Luka and Devin Booker right now. And this is exactly what we need because they're mocking each other on the court and they're doing just all kinds of random like flailing to make fun of each other. Those little things, it's so much fun to watch these two go at it.
And Luka in general is just fun to watch. Like, I made this comparison to a friend earlier today. Watching Luka, some of the stuff, like it's like when you played in your driveway as a kid, right? Or at a blacktop somewhere. And nobody else was around, so you were just trying crazy stuff, right? And you would just drive to the hoop and just throw your body up in the air and flail about and throw the basketball towards the hoop and in the chances that it might go in. Well, with Luka, it looks like that's what he's doing, but in all reality, he actually knows exactly what he's doing, and the ball ends up going in about 50% of the time when he takes these crazy out-of-control drives into the lane and just kind of throws something up towards the hoop, and it ends up going in half the time. And you're like, what? Did he mean to do that? I think he means to do it more often than not.
I actually think that was just you that used to do that as a kid, no one else. So that's more of a you thing, I think.
Me and my board games and no friends.
Taking weird shots in the driveway on your basketball hoop. That's the life of Chris Mack as a 12-year-old.
Yes. You nailed it. 12-year-old? I was 16, Nick. Don't tell
anybody. Okay, well, you probably did it when you were 12, and then it carried over to 16. I mean, I don't know. You know, I just figured I'd, a little bit of that. Look, the Mavs right now have overachieved this series. I mean, really, they covered the 2.5 last night. You go under 210, which is... kind of expected. The Mavs in general, their games have gone under. But when you look at what they were able to do, just beat the hell out of the Suns. Phoenix, I understand, coming before the playoffs started, they were the favorites to win the title. You've got to be worried about the Phoenix Suns now. They're turning the ball over like crazy. They shot 40%, 22 turnovers as a team. Chris Paul, again, 5 turnovers. One of the things I always say about Chris Paul is he just doesn't turn the ball over. You look at his career assist to turnover ratio, he has never averaged more than 3 turnovers a game in an entire season. And look at the biggest stars in the NBA like LeBron or guys that have that high usage, the ball's in their hands constantly. They turn the ball over. That's just kind of like what you expect. He doesn't do it. He looks off. He doesn't look right. I will say, though, I did take over 2.5 turnovers with him, and that hit, and that was plus money. So I'm pretty happy when it comes to that. I love Chris Paul, but I had to do it. I was like, this is kind of fading Chris Paul a little bit, but this is going to happen. They're going to have to figure this out quickly because the Mavs are scared. They're not going away. And Phoenix is at a risk now of their season ending a lot earlier than they expected.
Yeah, and it's not like the Mavs are classic letdown artists, right? I mean, they followed up big losses with big wins. They've done that a lot this year. You know, Doncic is Mr. Clutch. I mean, averaging 39 in elimination games.
Not scared, man.
And Devin Booker, as much as people chirped about why isn't he being considered for MVP, he's the best player on the league's best team. You go 0-for-4 from three, and you turn the ball over 8 times with an opportunity to put the opposition away. That's not MVP material. I'm sorry. It's just not. And even going home, I've got my worries about the Suns. I will say this, at the very least, I'm not comfortable laying the 6. I'm not. And so, you know, the other part of this is that if nothing else, if you're the Mavs and you're Mark Cuban and you're watching this thing play out, at the very least, you know that you've got the foundation of something here, that even if they don't pull it off in game 7 out in the desert, you've got the foundation. You knew you had the foundation with Luka. That part I don't think was in question. But you started to see things like, did anybody have Jalen Brunson coming up with some of the games that he's come up with in this postseason?
No.
And that's a guy that you can spin forward. Look, maybe he's not going to play the same kind of role on a future championship team that he's played for the Mavs this year. Ideally, Jalen Brunson is not, you know, your number 2 or number 3 on a championship team going forward. As far as production goes, he's more in the 5 range, right? Or maybe he becomes a great 6th man off the, you know, they've got the foundation in place. They've got a lot of the role players in place. Now it's about finding that right-hand man, that guy who's going to ride shotgun with Luka. And if that's all you've got to find this offseason, if you're the Mavs, I think you're in a pretty good spot to become one of those consistent contenders out West, to at the very least do more than just put a scare into the Suns and the Warriors of the world, but actually compete with them on a yearly basis. The Mavs, if nothing else, have learned a lot about themselves over the last month.
Oh, without question. And, you know, you talk about laying the 6. I wouldn't either because the Suns are pretty much a 500 team at home as a favorite against the spread this year. Now, they're great overall. Like, they win a majority. I think during the regular season, they were like 32-9 at home straight up. So they win plenty, but they don't cover a lot at home. And that's an alarming number for a team where I see this being a very close game. And if you let Dallas stick around, they're just going to give the ball to Luka in the fourth quarter. And it's clear that nobody on Phoenix can stop him. Meanwhile, you got Chris Paul and then Devin Booker combining for 13 turnovers this last game. A couple of mistakes late in a tight game like this. Phoenix is really, really... they are at the risk of losing this game. I'll be honest with you. I'm looking at Dallas plus 200 on the money line right there.
It's tempting.
It's tempting. It's really tempting. And I would not have said this 2 weeks ago, but the Suns do not look like the same team anymore.
Well, this is a game where if you're a Suns fan or you just believe that experience will win out in this one for Phoenix and that they'll end up holding the line and they'll end up pulling it off simply because it's a home game 7, then you live bet this thing. You don't give the 6. You wait to see if somebody besides DeAndre Ayton is going to show up. And if you do, in fact, see that Devin Booker is going to come to play, that you know, Chris Paul is not going to hand the basketball to the opposition more than he does to his teammates, then that's when you jump in on the live bets. And I think that's the way to play this game. And now, if you really believe that Luka's got more magic in him and that he's going to continue to average 39 a game in elimination spots, then by all means, to your point, that 2-to-1 number on the money line for the Mavs is tempting. You jump in on it. At the very least, you take the 6 points and say, yeah, I believe it. If nothing else, Dallas is going to give them a test and at the very least keep it close. But if you still believe in the Suns, if you still, if you're still looking at them and say, hey, this is why you have the regular season, so that you can guarantee that game sevens are on your home court, where you do play better, where you are more responsible with the basketball, then you don't jump in and lay the six, I don't think, right away. You wait for this thing to tip, wait to see if the number comes down just a bit, and then jump in on the Suns.
Yeah, yeah. And listen, if anything, we know that Phoenix on paper is the better team. They're great offensively, right. Great defensively. We know the talent they have. But that doesn't always matter. Sometimes it's just a confidence level, right? Like, Dallas has that confidence level. They're comfortable with the way that they've played Phoenix, and they've figured out, harass Chris Paul, and it disrupts the rest of the team. And Chris Paul has had, really, after the first couple of games, a horrible series. He's fouling out of games. He's turning the ball over a ton. That's a major, major problem for Phoenix. Now, it's not as much of a problem as what Philadelphia has to deal with now this offseason, because that was an utter embarrassment last night. You know, it's funny, when that series was tied 2-2 and Philadelphia won a couple of games and people are like, James Harden's back, it's like, pump the brakes for a second here. Everybody's riding the Joel Embiid return. That's what this is all about. Harden's got all this space because Embiid is the clear focus. James Harden does not care. James Harden played in that game last night like he was already ready to ask for a trade out of Philadelphia. That's his move. He did it in Houston. He did it in Brooklyn, where all of a sudden you're like, what's wrong with James Harden? Is he hurt? Is he broken? He really just doesn't want to be there. I'm already convinced that he is going to ask for a trade after he opts into that $47 million option, because as we know, there's no way he's not going to pick up that money. After the game last night, you know, he says like, oh, I'll be here. Yeah, because you got $47 million coming your way. So of course you're opting in. That is a team that is wasting Joel Embiid's prime, and they have absolutely no winning culture there whatsoever. And it's an utter embarrassment.
And now is the time for the Sixers to eat a whole lot of problems. To like, when you were a little kid and you were told to eat your vegetables, now's the time to eat the vegetables. cut yourself free from Doc. Pay whatever you got to pay to get that done. Eat whatever you have to eat to get Harden out of town. And look, I think Harden dragged down the Tyrese Maxeys and the Tobias Harrises of this team as the postseason dragged on. I know neither one of them had a great game last night. Maxey ended up, co-leading in scoring with Embiid, for what that's worth. I believe in those guys more than I believe in James Harden, to be quite honest. Yeah. And I believe that they can flourish under somebody other than Doc, who, let's be honest, is just going to instinctively, knee-jerk reaction, reflexively always go back to guys like Harden. This thing needs to be built, really truly built around Joel Embiid. I think Maxey and Harris can be a part of that and very important parts of that. But again, much like we talked about finding a number two, somebody to ride shotgun with Luka down in Dallas, they've got to find the right number two to ride shotgun with Embiid out in Philly. And look, I'd like to believe that Maxey could be that guy, but there have been too many ups and downs from him. And I know he's still young. I know he's still building on some things, but I think if like you said, you want to avoid wasting prime Joel Embiid MVP level years, you've got to go out and find that person, because Harden is not it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Tyrese Maxey has like a Jamal Crawford, Lou Williams type vibe to him where he can go out and light a team up, but then he'll go 0 for 7 from 3 the next game. So you can't build around somebody like that, but they're also great to have on your team. He's probably better off as a sixth man where he comes in, he's a spark plug, and just, we don't need you to be a playmaker, just go out and score. But like, what do you do with the rest of this team? The only value James Harden has on the trade market now is that he's an expiring contract. So they can maybe move him at the deadline next year. And that $47 million, somebody's going to be willing to take it. That's it. They're wasting everything Joel Embiid has brought to the table. And by the way, let's give Embiid credit for playing through not just the thumb injury, but a broken face. He's out there getting banged around and smacked. The balls hit him in the face. He's falling down all over the place, and he falls on Danny Green. That's an ugly injury. I certainly hope Danny Green full recovery from that, but that was an awful injury on top of that. But like, Embiid is just doing everything he can. That's somebody that wants to win. And then there's the love fest with Jimmy Butler in his interview afterwards, where he's talking about how he wishes he was still Embiid's teammate, but he's not. He loves the Heat. It's like they were talking about each other. That's my guy. That's like it's like a couple that broke up, but yet they're still going, occasionally texting each other. They're liking stuff on Instagram. Just like, I'm still here, just so you know. I kind of miss you. I know we're in these other relationships, but, you know, maybe down the road we could make something work again.
Yeah, it's like the relationship isn't going to work as long as you're texting your ex. Like, that's not going to work for anybody. So as much as Embiid wants to pine away for Jimmy Butler, it's not happening. And as for the Heat, by the way, I've gone after the Heat now through the first two rounds of the playoffs, and I called them fraud number one seeds because they piled up their number one seed record by playing just nothing but tomato cans in the Southeast Division. They got another one. They got the perfect example of that in the first round in the Hawks. I was a big dummy and thought maybe the Hawks would be able to give him some kind of test. That's on me, but I still don't believe in the Heat. Who have they gotten through in the first two rounds? They've gotten through the Atlanta Hawks and now a dinged up Sixers team without Joel Embiid fully available to them, with James Harden afraid to shoot the basketball in big moments and not shooting it particularly well when he did. I still don't think Miami, regardless of whether Boston mounts a comeback or it's Milwaukee, I don't think Miami gets through to the finals.
I'm with you. That was what I said even before this round started. The winner of the Milwaukee-Boston series is going to the NBA Finals. And I actually really like what they have in Miami, but the reality of this is they don't have that same firepower that a team like Milwaukee has with Giannis, or that Boston really has with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Two guys who can put the ball in their hands. I know, obviously, Jimmy Butler can go out and score, and he's had his moments. He had a 40-point game in the series. But like, if I'm building a team, I'm taking Jaylen Brown, I'm taking Jason Tatum, I'm taking Giannis as guys that are like my number one, go win us this game. You just don't have that same level of scoring and takeover ability. And maybe sometimes it's just because Miami's not as flashy and Jimmy Butler isn't as big of a star as some of those guys, especially Giannis. So we undervalue them just a little bit. But the winner of that Bucks-Celtics series is going to beat the Miami Heat and go to the NBA Finals. Speaking of that Bucks-Celtics series, we look ahead to that game tonight and Warriors-Grizzlies as well. Chris Mack, Nick Ashew, You Better You Bet on BetQL.
It's You Better You Bet from BetQL. Download the BetQL app today to get the latest analytics to help you beat the sportsbooks.